Fantastic. All right, we're going to continue with our theme, being a disciple. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a disciple. So being a disciple is a series we've been doing, looking through the book of Acts. We are now. We didn't start there, but it's a great place to be. And Acts 5 verse 12, I want to talk, my title of my message this morning, this is for the tape. We got that going this morning. Okay, so this, pray for signs and wonders. Pray for signs and wonders. Oh, and Yana and Ian, it's your last weekend with us before I go any further. So don't forget to say goodbye to Yana and Ian. What a great couple they've been in our church. They go to Germany in a week or so, and so don't forget to say goodbye. Everything else has pretty much been done because we weren't sure when they were going, but thanks. Great having this family with us. We're going to miss them dearly, and the children. I bet you the children are going to miss us too. All right, Acts 5, where was I? Pray for signs and wonders, Acts 5, verse 12. We all there? I'm going to go, let's do it in the New Living Translation, Conrad. Acts 5, verse 12. Meanwhile, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Meanwhile, like it just happens all the time. And the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. So they're in church. No one else dared to join them, though everyone else held high regard for them. I'm going to come back to that part in another message. And more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came in from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. They were all healed. You know, there's so many commentators out there that say that God doesn't do healing work today. Well, I'm glad we're part of a church that believes in the life of God, aren't you, Jacques? The life of God, that Jesus is alive today, the same as he was in the early church. We have the Holy Spirit in us. It's an experience. We can do the same things that Jesus did. And I refuse to not speak with boldness about all of us having a part to play in being a disciple, that we can pray for our friends, they can recover, that demons can be freed from them, that whatever their situation, God's the answer to their problems. Otherwise, we might as well just lie down and just mosey through life and have no purpose whatsoever. But if God's alive, then we need to experience it. If God's alive, we need to be praying for people. I know I'm talking mainly to the converted. But you can read a lot of stuff that just isn't, well, I don't know where the Bible's pretty clear. And so I'm glad that I believe that God's alive, that he heals people. I mean, I'm looking forward. I mean, Ken's going to, told me that. When I said it went meet and greet, Ken's going to the doctor this week to show the before and after of his knee. How cool is that going to be? I'm going to looking forward to that one. And other miracles and things that God's been doing in our church. You know, let me give you a little story about how I crossed the chicken line myself. Crossed the chicken line. What that means is that we actually go out of our comfort zone a little bit, and so it is quite daunting to pray for someone, especially when you're not in a church environment. So you got to, you got to cross the chicken line. We don't want to be chickens, do we? So I thought, well, it was an opportunity, and I thought, well, God, I think you want me to say something here. So I'm at. I don't know what happens. It seems to be happening at the gym for me a little bit. It must be because I'm awake first thing in the morning. I'm one of these people that gets up at 4 a.m. in the morning. I'm an early bird. Before the sun gets up, I'm up. And so, you know, I'd been praying that this particular morning, although that's not really relevant in some ways, but I had been. And I must say, I was still feeling under the power of God by the time I got to the gym. And I hadn't been there long. And the guy that does our sign writing for our building, he puts all our signs out. They're good, aren't they? Good sign writer. And he actually comes up to me. He goes, gee, you're looking fit, man. He's 47 years old, a couple of years younger than me. And I said, you're looking really trim. He goes, I've got a problem with my heart. He goes, every now and then I just collapse. Just, I don't know when. He says, so it's on my mind all the time, and there's this little thing, and I can't fix it, this little flap. But if that closes, I'm dead. Like, bang, on the ground. And he doesn't die, literally. But he faints, and he can die. And I, who thinks that's a chicken line moment? Pressure's on, you know. Here we are at the gym. There's guys lifting weights around us. You know, there's girls doing their thing on the treadmills. And I'm going, well, let's just look at me and have a conversation. You know what I do. He goes, yeah. I go, can I pray for you? And he didn't realize that I meant now. You know, because people don't think that, do they? If you're not. And so I said, now. He goes, oh, all right. Yeah, why not? And before he knows what I do. Don't forget, I've known him for a couple of years, all right, because he does our sign writing. It wasn't like just the first time I've ever met him. But he knows. And we've helped in some other circumstances. Long story. So he knows a little bit about what we do. And he just literally, his office is a few doors up from us here at the church. And so I laid hands, I said, let's just leave our eyes open, more for my sake, that is. And pretend that, you know, I'm just talking to you, but I'm going, in Jesus' name. I've got his hand on, I put his hand on his heart. Heal him in the name of Jesus. I pray for Darren. I pray, Lord, that everything's going to be all right and he's never going to faint again. Lord, do your work right now. And he goes, that was so cool, Nigel. He goes, I didn't mind that at all. He goes, I know that's who you, what you do and what you believe in. And then he goes off and does his weights, as you know, I thought, oh, well. And I'm just, all the time, I'm trying to do my weights. I'm thinking, Lord, get him, pray him, you know, let him be healed. It's the best, I tell you, it's a great feeling. Let's see what happens. Round two might come, I don't know. But I was just trying to be obedient to God. That's all we've got to do, right? I don't know the outcome, but I'm trusting that he doesn't have a faint. I'll ask him again when I see him. Have you fainted yet? Now look at this, where this came from, because I've just read to you about the apostles' healing, and it all because of the church together. Who'd like to be a part of that kind of church? Where we're together believing for the power of God, the miracle healing hand of God on people's lives. And so it comes from Acts 4:29 and verse 30. In the New Living Translation, it goes like this. And now, O Lord, hear their threats, all right, because it was a great time of persecution for the early church. And give your servants great boldness in their preaching. Send your healing power. So this is how they're praying. Tuesday night, this is how we're praying. Last Tuesday night, this is how we're praying. Send your healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Come on, guys. Who believes that through the holy name of Jesus that people will have things happen to them that we know are going to be God's hand on their life? Signs, wonders, miracles, healings. So when we pray for them, do you think it's more possible that it's going to happen because we're praying than if we're not? That would make sense, right? So let's keep praying for signs and wonders. Let's keep believing when we pray for people in church. Sure, like the apostles, okay? So in my situation, if we have people and we're going to pray for them, let's believe together that God's going to change their life, whatever their situation is. And so, it's all tangled up at the back here. It's all right. Peter and John have been in trouble, mostly with the Sadducees. Getting a bit of history now of this particular passage. And they were threatening all kinds of action, the Sadducees, against them, including death threats. Aren't you glad we don't have death threats here in Australia? But there's I think it's 300,000. Oh, I can't remember the stat. But a lot of people are still being martyred for the name of Jesus Christ around our world every year. Incredible amount of people. The council did not see what the majority of the people saw. Because they can imagine the crowds. Because it hadn't been long, this lame guy that had been at the temple for 40 years, and suddenly he's with Peter and John, and he's their new best friend because he's been healed for 40 years. He'd never been off his mat. And now he's walking around. And so all the crowds are gathering and go, weren't you the guy? Oh, yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the guy, but now look at me. And so the crowds are just getting more and more. And the council's going, we can't allow this kind of thing to keep going. What's going to happen? If we allow this to keep going, this kind of stuff about Jesus, and they keep talking about Jesus, what good are we going to be? We've got authority in this place, not them. And so they started to get worried. There's always going to be people in our world that oppose the name of God. Always. But we continue to stand, amen? We continue to do what we know is right because it's the word of God. And we're living in a world that mostly doesn't acknowledge God. And I want to go somewhere with this. See, the church is not usually on people's radar unless they have a need or something that the church needs them to do. And probably more so in Australia, because we're so affluent, God's kind of like, well, we don't need God. That'd be pretty much true, right? And therefore, listen to me, don't you think that the desperate prayers these Christians prayed are the same sort of prayers we should be praying today? Lord, bring signs and wonders. Lord, heal. Lord, touch people's lives. Help me to be a person that has the word of God for someone, the right word in season, that we can be effective in the name of the Lord, and that this place, like Solomon's colonnade, is known as a place that people respect and honor because they know the hand of God is on it. We can do that together, can't we? So all the believers were praying. They were saying, give your servants boldness, Lord. They cried for boldness. We can say, pray the same thing. Lord, give me boldness. Give all of us boldness, Father, for the situations that we face. Send your healing power, Lord, they cried out all the time as they were in prayer together. They prayed for miraculous signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Let's do it in Jesus' name, right? Let's be sure. See, they were not just open to signs and wonders. They were desperate for them. They prayed for them to come. And number one, we're going to get there. Number one, pray for signs and wonders. Pray for them as much as you possibly can. And see, faith speaks out, doesn't it? And so if we're believing, then as we're actually praying for signs and wonders, praying for healing, then faith actually speaks out. It actually causes more things to happen because we're praying. And so the context of this particular passage, look at this. Their generation had more immediate and compelling evidence of the truth of the resurrection than any other generation since. Hundreds of eyewitnesses to the risen Lord were in Jerusalem. They saw him. It's the same period of time. This was a generation of witnesses whose word was least in need of supernatural authentication. They'd seen Jesus for themselves. He's not in the tomb. The stone's been rolled away. He's risen from the dead. And this was a generation whose preaching, Peter, John, Paul hadn't made a decision yet, but he was close, miraculously again. They were the most powerful preachers of all time. They didn't really need signs and wonders, you wouldn't think, right? As much. So why did this generation, with its immediate access to the resurrection witnesses and its extraordinary preaching, feel such a passion to see God stretch out his hand and heal and do signs and wonders among them? To help people come to saving faith. To help people come to saving faith. When the believers prayed, Lord, stretch out your hand and heal in Jesus' name, it helped people come to saving faith. In Acts 5:12, it says this, many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. All the church, they were together. And Acts 5, 13 and 14 describes two results of the demonstration of signs and wonders. The general population, those outside the church in Jerusalem, the Bible says, stood in awe. Stood in awe. And interestingly, Ananias and Sapphira had died. Signs and wonders were being done. And in verse 13, none of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high honor. But that was not all. In the midst of the fear and amazement, in the midst of everything that was happening, the Bible then says that hundreds and hundreds of people came to the Lord. They came into relationship with God. And so, signs and wonders help people come into relationship with God. Would you agree? They help people to actually, you know what? I think there's something about God. And so the next time I see my signwriter friend, and he's going to know, for one thing, that I believe that God heals today. I don't know what the end result's going to be, but I'm trusting that God's going to heal him. And he's going to get him that one step closer to being and having a relationship with the Lord. The most purpose we have is when we're with God. It gives us purpose for eternity. There's nothing else on earth that can do that. So let's keep praying for signs and wonders, amen? They help bring people to Christ. It started with the believers praying, his healing power and signs and wonders be done through Jesus' name. You see, faith speaks. Will you speak out when you have the opportunity? Will you pray and go, Lord, thank you, Lord. We're going to see more signs and wonders. We're going to see more healings. And if you can't believe for it for yourself right now, well, you can believe it for church and see God do some more amazing healings. Start with whatever your faith level's at. Lord, I'm trusting that, you know, well, maybe you've got a cold. Go, Lord, I know you can heal me of this cold. Whatever it is, let's just start believing together for God to do something in our life that you hadn't believed for before. Is that cool? You see, faith speaks from the Word. And this was a time of great persecution. It was one of the main reasons many people in Jerusalem stood in awe of the church. But for fear of their own lives, don't forget there was death threats if you joined the church. Some of them kept their distance. But even so, more and more people came to Christ. So God's showing that it's kind of a contradiction if you look at it, but God's showing that you can his name and his power are greater than all the other external circumstances. See, faith understands that feelings are an unreliable basis for action. Bible says a great fear gripped the church. There was all these death threats, but regardless of these circumstances and events, they still kept praying and people still kept coming to Christ and people were still healed. When we pray, there is a greater call toward God and greater results occur. Faith does not rely on the natural senses. Faith does not rely on past experiences or the experiences of others. Faith does not rely on others' opinions. Faith does not depend on human ability. Who's glad about that one? Faith relies on one thing, what God has said, it's in His Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Initially, I have no physical evidence of what I'm believing for. Just like you. I have no physical evidence. When I'm praying for somebody else, I have no idea what God is going to do. Unless He's given me like a picture or something. But most of the time, we're simply praying and trusting God, right? Let me share with you one of our people that has been believing for a long time. And it's that kind of already not yet situation. And I've been speaking with David Langlands the last couple of weeks. And David and Claire said, yeah, you can share it as part of your message today. They're actually going to do a video of this in front of their new home, which will be cool. But before that happens, I just want to share a few things, because it's good. It's encouraging, right, to know that God's alive. And so David shared this with me. He said I could share it with you. Their house that they were believing for was a long time coming. And as they kept praying, the natural circumstances were not looking so good. David, actually, his income, he's self-employed, and the banks don't see that very favorably. He actually did have enough income. And so, but as far as the taxable income goes, it just didn't quite work out. And they looked like they weren't going to get a house in the natural. It was just like almost impossible. That's pretty depressing right there, isn't it? When you've been believing for so long. A couple of years at least, probably longer actually. David said this, and I'm going to quote him because he sent me an email. I think the main thing was that we had two choices. We could have given up in despair and slipped into depression. It would have been easy to do. But I took the lead in our home. We stood in faith and decided, even though we couldn't see a way forward, God would come through for us. Claire and Abriella needed to see that it was actually encouraging to take a step of faith. We couldn't see how at the time, but God came through. They've done all the paperwork. It's all in place. They're just waiting on the last little government stamp, and they're going to be in their new home in November, it looks like. How good is that? You see, David just said, well, I can't see how it's going to come to pass, Lord, but you know what? You know. And even though Claire and I guess little Abriella with a little face, she's going, well, I don't know, but he just stood. He just said, no, Lord, I'm standing on your word and your promises coming to pass for my life. God is greater. Sometimes, who thinks his faith is going to be stronger now from now at this point forward in life? That's the key, isn't it? See, we don't get it sometimes, do we? We think it's like, why can't it happen yesterday? I don't know why he doesn't do it that way either. He'll make life lots easier. But he also wants to grow us on the inside. He wants to put strength inside our heart and show that he always has a plan. And you know, I don't want to take away all their thunder, but I know he's got a better house than what he could have had. And so God knows. God knows. God knows. And when we honor God, God comes through. I'm looking forward to that video. I don't know who's going to video them because they both do the video, so we'll work that out. See, God confirms his word. Dave continued to speak out, and God confirmed his word. You got to know that God wants to bless you, by the way, because otherwise it doesn't really mean much, does it? But that's one thing when you're anchored and part of your life sown into the kingdom of God. You're serving in the house of God like those two great servants are. They're on holidays at the moment. They're up somewhere. You've got all the authority you need to bring heaven to your situation. Not by the sight of our eyes, whatever's going on in any area of our life. Not by our feelings alone. I'm assured of this truth by the unfailing word of God. It is so. God moves in response to faith. Lastly, signs and wonders are a pattern in this world. In Acts 5, 15 and 16, let's have a quick read there. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across them. As they went by, who'd like to have that kind of power in the house of God? Crowds came in from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. See, this is not an isolated instance of the miracle-working power of God. This happened over and over again throughout the Bible and throughout the church, throughout the New Testament. God healed over and over again. Pentecost, 3,000 people to Christ came to Christ through Peter's... The lame man, they reckon that around 2,000 people came to Christ from the lame man as they were walking around with Peter and John. Then there's Ananias further on in Acts. This guy had been paralyzed and in his bed for 8 years. Ananias and Peter, they called Peter to come. Could be any one of us. As disciples of Christ, they call you to come. Will you pray? Peter went into the man's room, Ananias' room, and said, "Jesus Christ has healed you. Stand up and make your bed." That's all he said. And Ananias does just that. Another situation, a bit later on, there's another lady this time, Tabitha, who was everyone loved in church. There's always those people in church that just love to do great things and gifts and give gifts away and just, you know, they're just special people. And she made all these beautiful garments and stuff for the you know, all the people in Solomon's colonnade. And yet, one day she just got sick and died, the Bible says. And so there's quite a lot of mourning because that's, depending on your culture or their culture, they mourn a lot. And I know various cultures here would do similarly. And they'd put her upstairs and they'd done the embalming and all that. They used to be able to do it themselves back in those days. I'm glad we do it our way, but, you know, that's their, well, back, that's how they did it. Peter comes along and he shoos everyone else out because, you know, it was getting a little bit emotional. Oh, look what she did, you know, and it was just getting a bit out of hand. And so he just, because, you know, faith needs a positive environment too. And he knelt down next to Tabitha's bed and said, "In Jesus' name, get up." Tabitha sat up in bed. And when she opened her eyes and realized it was Peter, Peter reached out his hand and they walked out together. Such was the power of God. I'm telling you, Jesus is the same God today. He's no different. And he wants to use you and I for the promises of God. What was most amazing about both of these situations, the Bible says, in the litter that last one, the whole population came to Christ when they saw that Tabitha had been healed. And the whole population again, when they'd seen that Ananias had been healed, came to Christ. In fact, two towns actually came to Christ. People need good news in their world, don't they? Yana, for the very last time, why don't you come? Don't forget to say goodbye to these guys. When we pray for signs and wonders, will you start making it part of your prayer life to pray for signs and wonders? Pray for God to move. Because when we pray for signs and wonders, there's more opportunity for God to do them, first of all. Signs and wonders and the healing power of God are commonplace throughout the Word. Just in Acts, there's at least 17 occasions where signs and wonders have turned people's hearts toward Christ. And I want to finish with a well-respected reverend from the mainline tradition who actually had a lot of Pentecostal friends. Never changed. He stayed in his, but after he gave up in ministry, because he finished his ministry in 1968, he actually, the only thing he focused on after that was talking about the Holy Spirit and the experience of the life of God. He'd been transformed. I want to say, when he was actually at, his name's Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's at Westminster Abbey, so pretty high-profile church. So here he is at the chapel there, and he's there. He'd been in Martin Lloyd-Jones' church for 30 years. He was the reverend, the top guy. This is what he said after reading a scripture in the New Testament. He wrote it in one of his journals. Do you know anything of this fire? If you do not, confess it to God and acknowledge it. Repent and ask Him to send the Spirit and His love into you until you are melted and moved, until you are filled with His love divine and know His love to you and rejoice in it as His child and look forward to the hope of the coming glory. Quench not the Spirit, but rather be filled with the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. You want to know why he had so much passion about the Holy Spirit at the Westminster Abbey of all places? This is what he said. That this provides an overwhelming assurance of God's love to the Christian and thereby enables him to boldly witness for Christ to an unbelieving world. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Maybe today you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an opportunity to do that this morning. It's very difficult if you don't experience the life of God yourself to be able to believe in such a way. There's more life than this man. Martin Lloyd-Jones, well respected, and went on and wrote many articles about the Holy Spirit once he'd retired from ministry. He experienced a relationship with God. Pray earnestly like the early church did. Will you, church? We can do this together. Pray with us for miracles. Pray for God's intervention when you're with others. When we come to prayer meetings, if you have the opportunity, come 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights. Let's believe together for miracles to occur. If you want to experience the Holy Spirit and more of God in your life, I'm going to close the meeting in just a moment, but love you to come. And if you're still experiencing like God's broken through a little bit in your life, like we have been praying the last number of weeks, you just think, you know what? I'd like God to continue to do His work in my life. Will you come too? I've been praying for some major situations in people's lives of healing. If you're here this morning, please come. I'd love to pray with you again. I'll ask a couple of the guys to join me, Jonathan and Susan Pitar, help me with this like we did last week. That'll be awesome. Come on, let's just sing a worship type style song and then dismiss the meeting. If you'd like to come, you can do that as well for one of those two things. The Holy Spirit, or for breakthrough in your life. Go.
With everything, we will shout forth your glory.